And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each and every one here today. I want to thank you, Father, for the hearts here that are reflecting a desire to not simply come to church, but a desire to spiritually be blessed by you touching their heart and giving them insight of your love for them and anything else that you want them to know, that they would experience knowing that you're communicating with them, that they're recognizing that, and that they are receiving what you have for them to receive, and that it'll bless them, and that it'll glorify you. Thank you that my voice is better this week. Sustain my voice for the message. And I pray that in this message, in the midst of it, whatever challenging aspects are there, that the message will only prod our hearts to just love Jesus more and more with all that we are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So I forgot to read the kids. Mark 16:15. He said to them, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. I mean, share Jesus with everybody. And that's true for all of us. If we really value our relationship with God, then we're going to look at the opportunity to share our faith with other people. We hear that all the time. We know that is a basic principle in our faith. But when our hearts become closer to Jesus and we see others around us, there's a desire that God creates in our heart that even prods our mind. I wonder if they're saved. I wonder if they know the Lord. I wonder if how I can maybe be a witness to help them come to know Jesus as their Savior. I have a neighbor that I've been praying for since they've lived in our little community. I've been praying for ways to approach that person. And one of the things that God's been telling me is that just continue to let them know that you care and that you love them and that you don't reject them and that you just reach out to them in kindness and love and then look for those opportunities to share your faith with Christ. Ask God for the door to be open to have that conversation. So there's different ways that we can be that witness, that instrument. We just have to listen to God and what he wants us to do. So in my notes here, it says something we all want to do after Christmas is look down at our stomachs and say, have we gained any weight? What's the first thing with New Year's resolution? What's one of the main New Year's resolutions? Lose weight, going to hit the gym, going to knock those pounds off, all that type of things, right? But this week, as the beginning of this new year, can you believe 2023? I mean, I was telling Mr. Grant, I say it because you're older than me. Mr. Grant. No, I was telling Mr. Grant, I said, hey, I remember when I was in high school with my best friend and we were calculating how old we would be when the year 2000 came around. And now we're at 2023 and we're thinking, wow. Then I realize, oh, 65, oh, Medicare, oh, pictures. I can see that I really do look old. So time flies faster than we know. The point that I was making about that is this, that in our examination of ourselves after the new year, we might look at the physical things, but we need to, instead of being concerned about dropping the weight, subtracting the weight, although that's good, that we're to look at maybe the spiritual application of subtracting things from our lives or adding things to our lives on a spiritual perspective. Does that make sense? There are spiritual things that we can look at in our walk with Christ that needs to be subtracted or taken out. And there are spiritual things that God wants us to add to our life. That's kind of what we're going to look at this morning. And so there are physical and there are spiritual things that we have to deal with, things that need to be taken out of our life, things that need to be implemented into our life. And the spiritual aspect is that when we look at the things that we know that God wants us to take out of our life, to subtract from our life, the intent is not to rob us, but to help us to grow in a closer walk with Jesus. Like I told the kids, the most important thing about salvation is not just that you're saved, but that you know Jesus. That we know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ personally. And we know him here. We know him in our walk with him. We grow closer to him as we give our walk to him. But if we don't subtract the things from our lives that we know God wants us to subtract, you know what I mean by the subtracting? Obviously, subtracting you do, but you know what I'm pointing to? The things that God doesn't like in our life, that God is speaking to us about, he's saying, I want you to remove that from your life. And again, like I was saying before, he's not saying that to rob you. He's saying that so you can have a closer walk with Christ, so that your walk with Christ isn't hindered. Because the more that we embrace the things that we know that God doesn't want in our life, the more hindered our walk is with Christ. That makes sense, right? The more we put between God and us, the more that he doesn't want in our life, the more our relationship with God is hindered. And so the difficult part in this new year is just being honest with ourselves. But you know, the thing is, we try to fool ourselves before God. We can look at God and tell God, and we're looking at ourselves and we're reflective, and we might see the honesty of where our heart is, but for us to communicate that directly to God, it's almost like, I can't tell God that, but yet God's saying, I already know, ding, 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 right? He's saying, I know what your concerns are. I know what things need to be subtracted. I know where you might be feeling embarrassed or burdened or whatever, but I love you, and I already know these things, but what I want you to do is acknowledge them before me so that you can deal with them, can subtract them from your life, so that I can give you the additional blessings on your life that will help you to walk closer with God, because the richness of our life is based, as believers, on the fullness of Christ in our life. We sang those songs, and it was about total surrender to Jesus. It was about, no matter what happens, I'm going to yield myself to God. That's a life heart commitment. But it's not in vain by any means. It's a statement that says, you know what? I've come to a place in my walk that Jesus is the most important person in my life. Not just because I'm saved, but because he is my Lord. He is my King. He is my God. He's the one that I want to yield my life over to completely and follow him. And as scary as that can be because of the unknown, know that God only wants to bless and not hinder. He only wants to build us up and to help us to have a closer walk with Christ. When I say closer walk with Christ, ask yourself the question, when were the times that you felt closest to the Lord? When was the time that you recognized him the most in your life? Were those blessings to you? Yeah, because you're realizing, I remember where I was with Christ, and I remember the richness of the blessing of Jesus in my heart. And God's saying, look, I want to give you more of me and you, if you will. I want to give you a deeper understanding, a deeper perspective, but more importantly, a deeper one-on-one relationship with God, and God wants to bless us. So we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be willing to make corrections by acknowledging them, because God already knows that they are. We need to be willing that if we see ourselves get off track, to be willing to get back on track. Because when we're off track, life gets a little bit out of focus. I think so, because a non-believer, for example, and a Christian that's off track will find themselves spinning around in the things of the world and not really having the focus that God wants you to have, because he's created us for him. And you might say, well, I have focus. I've got my priorities. I've lined them out. I've set them up. I know what my focus is. I'm organized and focused that way. But if it's not in God, what happens at the end of our life? And we know that life can come, our life can end abruptly at any time. But if we're looking at our life, we're going, hey, man, I've spent all that energy and all that I am to do those goals, but God wasn't in it, then people will come to the end of life, and if they have the time to think about it, they'll say, it was empty. So if we build our life with Christ, that's the richness, is it not? The fullness of God in our life, living for him, having a relationship with him, being in the plan and the purpose that God has for each of our lives. I mean, if there's anything for a new year to consider, that's something serious to consider. Where's God in your life? Is he the most important? Are you willing to yield yourself to God at any cost, like our missionaries? Can you imagine flying to Ukraine right now? Do you think they have any holiday packages over there? No. They're flying right into a war because God called them to go. And in going, they're yielding their life up to God. So God, whatever you want is what we want. We want to be in the center of your will. So if it means us losing our life, going back to Ukraine, so be it. Because we want to know that we've lived and died in your will. And that's richness, because that affects not only our life here and the prioritizing of our focus of life, but it affects us for all eternity as well. And when we're in eternity, we can't go back and change what we lived. This is our opportunity now to live as God would have us to do. So in John 3:25-30, it says, "Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification." And they, you know, the Jews were really funny. The religious Jews, you know, you got to wash your hands up to your elbows. You got to drip off the water. You got to let it air dry. All this ritualistic stuff. That's not what God is concerned about. And after they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him." Do we know who he's talking about? John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven." Do we know who we're talking about? "You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him." Do we know who we're talking about? "He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled." Do we know who we're talking about yet? "He must increase, but I must decrease." Who said that? John the Baptist. What was his perspective? Two things I want us to consider in that passage. His whole focus was to direct people's eyes and hearts to Jesus. You say, well, that's nice. That was his calling. That was his power. That was his gift. That was what God intended for him to do. But in reality, that's what God has called all of us as believers to do, is to help direct people to come to know the Lord, but to help people who know the Lord grow closer to the Lord, to encourage each other in faith and to be the people that God's called us to be. But in verse 30, it's so important. "He must increase, but I must decrease." Is that a reflection of a person that says, it's not about me, it's about bringing glory to God. It's about being in God's will. It's about seeking him and pointing people to him. And that's what a humble and bold statement that is. Excuse me. Many sermons have been preached about regarding verse 30. And most of them talk about being humble. But this morning I want to look at a different spin on that verse, okay? Because John the Baptist's life was all about pointing people's hearts and eyes to the Messiah, to the Christ, to the Holy One that was promised to Eve. That would be the Redeemer for sin, the Redeemer for mankind because of the fall of sin. And so, pointing to Christ was John the Baptist's primary thing. So maybe a question to ask you is this: how important it is for you that other people know that you're a Christian, not because you proclaim it, but because you live it? How important is it to you that people will see Jesus in you? I'm not saying proclaiming is not important, but we know that if we live with Christ, that the world will see something different in us that the world doesn't know. That's Jesus. And people will sometimes be drawn to that who are looking for hope. So sometimes we need to add and subtract from our lives to make Jesus become more prominent, so we can point others to him. So we might have to look at our life and evaluate and say, what things in my life are distracting from pointing to Jesus? What things hinder my life from being in a relationship with God that is very close? What things hinder us? And so we need to ask that question again. We need to add and subtract from our lives. I need to remove this from my life, and I need to add this to my life. Well, Olin was saying this morning, he said, read your Bible. Read your Bible. You've heard me say it before, over 90% of Christians that go to church don't read their Bible. Read your Bible. And then read it with a prayer intent and say, God, help me to meet with you during this time of reading your word. Show me something about you that you want me to know. So, like I was saying earlier, many of us set goals for our lives. My life goal was simply in college was I was going to be gourmet chef, travel the world on a cruise ship, decide where I wanted to live, establish a restaurant, get a management team to run it, then get married, raise a family, and rake in the money as they run my business. That was my goal. God said, I got news for you. You can cook as a hobby, but I've got other things for you. And the other things were, you know, you got to be a pastor, but I couldn't even stand up in front of a classroom without falling apart. Even doing a pantomime in class, I almost fell apart. And so we need to understand that God has plans for us that are beyond our comprehension. And in those plans of following God, God gives us purpose and direction that not only affects our walk with Him here, but affects eternity. Those are great things, and there are things that we should consider seriously. So we need to add God's purpose to our lives. How much of God are you adding to your life? Now, that sounds strange. I'm a believer. I know Jesus is my Savior. He lives in my heart. I'm secured through the blood of Christ. But how much are we allowing God to be involved in our life? How much is He a deciding factor in our life? How many times do we go to God and say, God, is this what you want? We're going to pray about this. We're going to seek your will. Those are important for us to understand. A person might say, God, more than anything else, I want your will in my life. I want you to think about this and ask yourself where you fit with this. I'm not saying you don't. Okay, don't misunderstand. But it's a good plumb line for a walk. God, more than anything else, I want your life. More than anything else, I want your will in my life. That's the first point. More than anything else, I want to be what you made me to be. I want to do what you created me to do. It starts with a complete commitment. If we're not willing to say, Lord, I want your will in my life. I want you to make me what you want me to be. I want to accomplish the things through you that you've designed me for. And we have to put Christ first and say, that's what I want. Unfortunately, many don't do that. And I don't say that for those that don't know Christ, but I say that as Christians. Many Christians are content and happy with being saved, knowing they're going to heaven when they die. But they miss out on the fullness of life, the fullness that God intends. And that we need to remember. Romans 6, 8 through 14. Excuse me. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. We died with Christ. It's no longer about living for Terry Glover or put your name there. It's about living for Jesus. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. We're going to live our life with Christ. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all, that the life He lives to God. Even Jesus lived His life on earth for the glory of God the Father. He was surrendered to the will of God the Father, not to His own desires. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We don't have to yield to sin. We know that. We don't have to allow those things in our life that God doesn't want in our life. God has given us power over that if we trust Him. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Isn't that a wonderful statement? Present yourselves as being, right, as being instruments of righteousness from to God, to present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Learning what it means to live a life that's above our sinful nature is learning how to live our life in the power of Christ. That's an exciting life to experience that. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Nobody likes to talk about sin. And that's not my main point here this morning. My point is I want each of us to be reminded the fullness of life comes by subtracting the sin that we acknowledge before God out of our life and yielding to things that God wants to add to our life as he reveals those things to us. Romans 6 tells us that we are to give ourselves completely to God. Every member of our body is to be used for his good purposes. Everything that we do, everything we think, everything that we say is to be used for God's good purposes. You say, well, that's kind of an unattainable thing because we're sinners. But with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, Scripture challenges us to do our very best to keep our minds, our hearts, our desires, our priorities surrendered to God because we've given our life over to him and that he's our top priority. That's what God wants. And it's not robbery. It's really the answer to a fullness of life. So, when you add God's purpose to your life, your values and your priorities immediately get switched around. Is that true? When you surrender your life to God, with all genuineness of heart, do your priorities begin to switch? Yeah, because you've changed your focus. Your focus is on God, not on self. Sorry. So your priorities change radically. Instead of becoming selfish, you become selfless. Instead of focusing on yourself, you focus on God. Instead of fulfilling sinful pleasure, you fulfill God's pleasure. These are the riches of God in our life. God's just simply saying, these things that need to be subtracted are to be subtracted so you can have these things added to your life. And that brings glory to God. Some of us carry extra baggage in life. That's why our progress in terms of spiritual growth is slow. What I mean by that is this. Satan will try his best to get us to hold on to the luggage of our past, things that we're ashamed of, all these types of things. But remember, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's not only forgiven us for the things that we know we've asked to be forgiven for, he forgives us for everything we know that we did, that we don't know that we did wrong too. Every time we confess and repent, it's like a clean slate and you start over, even though we're completely clean in the eyes of God right now through faith in Christ. And so when you add God's purpose to your life, then you may need to subtract excesses in your life. Are you willing to do that? Are we willing to do that? It's easy to say yes. It's harder to say yes when God shows us what he wants. You follow that? When we can say, God, I'm going to follow you all the days of my life, okay? Then God puts us to the test and says, here's what I want you to do. Oh, wait a minute. You mean be a preacher and not a gourmet chef? No, if you're going to follow me, then we must be willing to sacrifice as God calls us to. And that sacrifice is not robbery. That sacrifice actually opens up the door for the fullness and the riches of God in our life. So some carry extra baggage in life, and that's why they're holding on to the past, and they're allowing the past to keep them from living the future that God has for them. Ever see people like that? Wallowing in everything else from the past, rather than dealing with that before God and moving forward. That's what God wants us. That's a freedom we have in Christ. Aside from the fact that excess baggage hinders our spiritual growth, they will also obscure the fact that Jesus is in our lives. You get that? Excess baggage hinders our spiritual growth, but it also obscures the fact that Jesus is in our lives. Say, I'm a Christian. I want people to see Christ in me. But the more we hold on to those things that God doesn't want, the more that revelation of God in our life is not seen by others. When we have excesses, people don't really see Jesus in us. So what can our excess baggage be? We're going to look at three things. One, Jesus said in I don't know how professionals do it up there in big churches, but just human beings, aren't we? Matthew 6:19-20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. That's a physical and a spiritual perspective. We can, I was going to say this in the right way, we can put all of our energy into getting all that life has, all the toys, all the accomplishments, all the bank account, or whatever. It's our treasures on earth. But those things eventually fade away. But on the spiritual, we're called to lay up treasures in heaven. A treasure in heaven that's ours that will never, ever fade away. So the more we yield ourselves to God and follow him in faith and love for him with a right heart, God has things for us in heaven, that treasures that he's storing up for us in heaven, specifically in response to our walk with him. And those things will never fade away. It's spiritual. But hear this, it's also real. We can look at the spiritual as being intangible. But when we are there in heaven, we're going to see the impact and the tangibility of what God has laid in store for us because of our faithfulness. So I would rather live my life living for Christ, just to know him, first of all, but also for whatever sacrifices here on earth, to know that what God has in store for me in heaven will last forever, will never grow old or commonplace. And so I'd rather live my life with that perspective. Sometimes we need to subtract things like too many assets or belongings that distract us or tie us down, so we're free to serve God. How many of you know Pastor Francis Chan? Do you remember his testimony? Big church. I mean, when you're in the ministry, there's a temptation to say, I want to climb the ladder, just like in the secular world. I want to get up to that big church. I want to accomplish the goals. God gave him a big church and great influence. And then God laid it on his heart and said, walk away from the big church. Walk away from the big house. Walk away from all these things and just buy a little house in a common neighborhood and become people for the sake of connecting with those around you that you may not be able to connect with as the big shot. That's what he did. When we were in Tennessee, we had a pastor, big church, at least it was big to me. You know, 863 for Sunday school was a low Sunday. So it was a big church. But God called him, his wife, and his three kids to start a brand new church from scratch in another state. And I thought, wow, you've got all this, and you're leaving it all to start a new work. And as a young Christian, I'm like, wow, what a willing heart simply to do what God says. And the relationship with God is there, being willing to let go and to follow God how he leads and to embrace what he has for us. And so when I think about Francis Chan and my old pastor back in Knoxville, Tennessee, that was a testament to me of someone who says God first, not my stuff, not my status, not anything else, but Jesus first. So what else can our excess baggage be? Guilt and frustration, right? The first one is material things can hinder us from being close to God. Oh, thank you so much. You didn't drink out of this, did you? But you don't backwash, so it's okay. Thank you, Donna. That does help. So guilt and frustration is the other thing that hinders us from a closer walk with God. We can often regret something that we've done in our past. I touched on that. We can often wish that something hadn't happened in the past. And sometimes we regret someone, when we regret something, we find ourselves having guilt. If you wish something had happened, that's frustration. If you experience these things, this will hinder your progress and growth in Christ. So you follow what I'm saying there? So we can regret things that have happened or wish something else had happened. We find ourselves feeling guilty for what things did happen or frustrated because things didn't happen. And so what's the most important thing is to make sure that we're in step with God, that we're in His will. That's what God wants for us. So if we experience the guilt and the frustration, then what that does, guilt and frustration, is the baggage that Satan throws on our life to hinder us from having the fullness of life that God wants us to have. So God wants us to enjoy our life. Let go of the past and move forward as God would have us to. Philippians 3:13 says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do." And I love this. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." God has great things for each one of you. Great things for you specifically. And if you're willing to follow God to whatever direction, you know, Joanne is a committed Christian woman. And she's not one to say, you know, sure acknowledge where she's at, and she's older in life. But her testament is that she loves Jesus and she continues to be faithful to Him. Granny Mildred, was she 92 when she passed? I don't remember. But she was faithful to Jesus. What a reward that is to know that you've lived your life faithfully until the course was run. And what testament and impact that has on people's lives. So praise God, that's what we should be. Press on toward the things that God has for us yet. If we're willing to let go of our life and really put God, say, "God, I want you first," we need to be careful, because when we say we want you first, God's going to say, "Okay, but this is what I have for you." We have to be willing to accept that and move forward. But it'll always be a blessing. So talk to God and subtract the guilt and frustrations from your life. And of course, the excess baggage. Third thing, sin, which is the heaviest baggage we can carry. The Holy Spirit can never work in your life the way He wants to if you're harboring sin. If we know that we've got sin we haven't dealt with before God through confession and repentance, then we can't expect God to work great things in our life. Here's spend His time working to get our heart to repent rather than filling our life up with the things that He wants us to experience in Him. So how's your lifestyle? How do you relate to others? How's your thought life? Do you easily fall into temptation? Are you quick to criticize others and slow to encourage? Do you say something behind someone's back? Answer, yes. We're all human. We all have our shortcomings. But we should never allow that conclusion to be the acceptance that says, "Well, that's just the way it is." No, God wants us to deal with the things in our life that aren't right so we can get rid of those things. You might be those that say, "Well, I drink too much alcohol or get smashed." Okay? Excuse me. Or you look at with interest at others in an inappropriate way. Or you're an inveterate liar. That's just part of your character. We're all sinners, like I said. And all of us can do these things. But the good news is God loves you. Don't ever forget that. In the face of our shortcomings, Satan wants to say, "You're trash. You're nothing." God says, "That's a lie. You are loved. And I have a life for you. One that you have never dreamt for yourself before." 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The first thing we should always do is confess and subtract sin from our lives so we can live out God's purpose for us. Let me ask you a question. Don't answer it to me, but just in your own head. When you realize that you've messed up in sin, do you confess that to God immediately? You could be driving down the road, wherever you're at. You just say, Lord, I'm sorry for saying that or thinking that or doing that, whatever. We need to keep ourselves in that tight check with God, saying, I know that that was wrong. You've told me. I acknowledge that. And keep our hearts clean and right with God. And don't let Satan throw it in your face and say whatever he has to say to tear you down. Because God says, I've forgiven you. He has. And we can move forward. So, lastly, is we need to look to Jesus for the increase and for us to decrease. We need to desire Jesus to be more and more in our life and not us more and more. We need to decrease. He needs to increase. Does that sound familiar? John the Baptist. It's not John the Baptist's goal was not to build himself up, but to decrease so that Christ might increase. What did God say about John the Baptist? He says he was probably one of the best, I'm paraphrasing, men that a woman has ever born. It's not a quote, but he honored him highly because his heart was right that way with God. John the Baptist, like John the Baptist, we must point others to Christ, and we need to avoid witnessing to others. We need to add witnessing to others in our life. Like I said, a neighbor I've been praying for years, waiting for God to erode the hard pan enough in the relationship that I can approach that person and talk seriously about Jesus to them. That's part of our witness, is loving, caring, and reaching out and praying for God to give us opportunity to share Christ with others. So we need to decide how this year how prominent we want God to be in our life. If he's already prominent, number one, praise God. But if he is, you know that it's an ongoing endeavor. You have to be willing to continually give God first place. What motivates us to give God first place? The very relationship that we have with Jesus becomes the most precious thing that we have in life. Your relationship, my relationship, when we have that relationship with Jesus that is rich and personal and deep, it becomes the most important relationship that we can have in life. Therefore, nothing else can be more important than that. And we don't want anything to interfere with that. In Romans 10:14, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? When it says preacher, it doesn't mean pastor, although that's part of it. Preacher means proclaimer, messenger. And you and I as believers are the ones to share Jesus with others. You know the frightful thought? How many people that has God allowed our lives to touch that we haven't shared Christ with? That may have already died, and we don't know where they're at. It's not meant for a guilt trip. It's meant to say, I need to prioritize and ask God to show me how to be used to reach people. And we'll be surprised how God will use us. The purpose of telling others about Christ is so that they may be saved. Amen? We want people to be saved. And that's what John the Baptist did before Jesus came to the scene. In Matthew 3:2, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We must warn others of the coming judgment, because anyone who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, when they die, will face eternal judgment. For those of us who believe, we're glad that we're going to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. But we want others to know that too. We want to tell others about Christ. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I want you and I to consider that we might be open to letting God use us for those purposes. So, closing, when was the last time you talked to someone about Christ? Does it mean you went up to their door and knocked on their door and say, hey, can I share Christ with you? It might. Could it be that bold? It could be. Could it be your personal witness of them seeing Jesus in us? Could it be with me? I can preach the word and share the gospel. Kathy is more of a writer, And she's witnessed to people through writing on the internet, which is easier for her than face-to-face. There's all sorts of ways that, in our own personality, that we can witness Christ to others. And so we need to subtract our witnessing fears. Get that? Subtract our witnessing fears. Easy said, not easy done, but God gives grace. Subtract our witnessing fears and add witnessing courage this year so that we can point others to Christ. Take courage as God's people. Share Christ as your Savior. And the best way that we're going to be effective is subtracting the things out of our life that God doesn't want and embracing the things that God gives us. And our life will be rich and full in Him, and God will be glorified. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you for each one here. I thank you, dear Holy Spirit, that you are the one that carries your word to hearts, that you affirm or you convict or you give direction and clarity and counsel. So many things that you do, dear Holy Spirit, as you carry your word to our hearts. I pray, Father, that hearts here today and those that listen to this message later will find a resolve in their heart that says, I want Jesus to be more of the priority of my life. I want to know Jesus more deeply, and I want to be the person that God has created me to be, that I might live the fullness of life that God intends. And I just ask the Holy Spirit, you communicate that in ways that will resonate in the hearts of every hearer, that their hearts will be blessed and touched, and that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.